Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bab Metzia Daf Tzadi Tes. We left off. We're up to Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph at the very top of the page. I think we already read the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Beis yesterday. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, the Misham Shem and Aliyah, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, they should return home safely, and also by Jeffrey Geitzholz on the occasion of the yard sale of his mother, Mrs. Jeanette Geitzholz, Shendel Bas Shaya Mendel, Allah Shalom, a Holocaust survivor who, as a young child, saved many children in the Krakow ghetto, her Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for these sponsorship. So the Mishnah that we read at the end of the shiur yesterday spoke about if a shoel is, if a mashiel sends a cow to the shoel, or the shoel sends the cow back, who's responsible while the cow is in transit? Do we assume that the borrowing period began already while it's in transit, and do we assume that it ended already before it's in transit back? So that was the discussion. The Mishnah depends if the shoel said yes, send it, or it was just the mashiel who decided to send it. So that was yesterday. So the Gemara is going to explain why the Shoel is Chayiv when the Mashal sends it Biyad Avdo with his own Eved. Normally we assume Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo, that an Eved is just an extension of the master. So why would it be that it's considered that it's already in the Shoel's Rishos when the Mashal sends his own Eved to bring the cow? If the Mashal himself brought the cow, would you think that the Shoel would already be Chayiv at that point? So that's going to be the first discussion in the Gemara. Then the Gemara is going to talk about at what point is the borrower kona the item that he's borrowing. He's kona with it doesn't belong to him, he's only borrowing it, but when we talk about a kinyan in this regard, we talk about at what point he becomes chayv and owns him. If you're a borrower, so an onus happens to it, it's your full responsibility. So when do we assume that the borrower becomes chayv and owns him, or when do we assume the kinyan happens with regard to the mashil being able to back out on the deal? The mashil says, here, I'm lending this to you for a month, and then a day later the mashal says, change my mind, I need it back. So normally you're not allowed to do that, but you're only not allowed to do that once the shoel has been koneh it. If the shoel hasn't been koneh it, so the mashal could still say that he changes his mind. So at what point does that kinyan actually happen? Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis how we compare Hegdish to Hedyot in terms of paying back what you stole. Meaning, if let's say a person steals a bundle of something, and if you sell it by the bundle, it demands one price, and if you sell it individually, you'd be able to get a little more money for it. So is there a difference between in terms of how much you have to pay back, whether you stole from Hedyot or you stole from Hegdish, and also in terms of paying for Hana'a that the other party doesn't know about? Let's say a person, that's what Gemara is going to discuss, a person is Dar B'chatz Chaver or Shalom Midaito. Then normally we assume Zenen of Zolichas, you squat in someone else's property. So do you have that same din when it comes to squatting in property of Hegdish, or do we treat Hegdish differently in some way or another? And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have a discussion of a person who destroys a barrel of wine that's worth X amount of money on the Yom HaDeshuka, and he destroyed it on the Yom HaDeshuka, and then when it's not Yom HaDeshuka, when the markets aren't open, it's not worth as much money. Can he pay back a barrel of wine instead of paying back cash? Can he pay back the very same barrel of wine on a day that's not Yom HaDeshuka, when it's not worth nearly as much money? Is that considered to have been? Is that considered that he's paid it back? So let's begin. We're at the Gemara on the very top of Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah said that if the Shoel tells the Mashiel, send me the para with your Eved, and then the Mashiel sends the para with his Eved, and then an onus happens when it's in transit, the Shoel already bears responsibility for that. Because since he encouraged the Mashiel to send it with his Eved, the She'ela already begins at that point in time. So the Gemara assumes that we're talking about an Eved Kanani. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, Biyad Avdo Chayiv, but Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo. Isn't the Yad Eved just an extension of the hand of the master? Would you think that if the Mashiel himself walks the animal over by the instructions of the Shoel, that the She'ela already began? No, if the Mashiel himself is still with the animal, certainly the She'ela didn't begin yet. So how can you say that when he sends it Yad Avdo, that the borrowing already began, that he's already chayiv and owns him? So Amr Shmuel, so two answers. We have Shmuel and Rav. So first Shmuel, Amr Shmuel, Bevet Ivri, Delo Karni Le, Gufei. that what the Mishnah is talking about is not an Eved Kanani, meaning Eino Chinami, you're right, Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo, but that's only by an Eved Kanani, whereas an Eved Ivri is someone that has to work for you, but you don't own the Eved Ivri, you don't actually own his guf, you don't actually own his body, and therefore we do not say Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo when it comes to an Eved Ivri, and therefore the case of the Mishnah must be talking about an Eved Ivri, and that's why the period of borrowing begins as soon as the shovel tells the mashal, you can send it with your Eved Ivri, and he does so even while it's in transit. The shovel already becomes chayv and onsim. So that's answer number one, Shmuel's answer, that it's specifically talking about an Eved Ivri. Rav Amar afilu teim b'Eved Kanani. I'll tell you that it's even talking about an Eved Kanani. But Nasa Ka'omerle, we consider it as if he told him, as if the shovel said to the mashal, hakisha b'makel v'hitavo, hit the animal with a stick, you know, to encourage it to move, and it will go on its own into my rishus. And since the mashiel hit it with the stick and it left the rishus of the mashiel, so now the shoal is already chayiv bachriyusa. The shoal is already responsible for it. Aye, but that's not what he did. He didn't just hit it with the stick and let it go. The eved walked along with it. Yeah, but that's beside the point. The fact that the eved happens to be walking along with it doesn't change the fact that if I tell you to send it and you send it, so then it's going because of what I told you, and therefore I bear responsibility. I bear responsibility for it. Rashi writes, "Deshabed nafshe mishetetze mirushuso," that he was meshabed himself as soon as it leaves your rishus, meaning the shoel is taking on the full responsibility. He's meshabed himself with the full responsibility the second it leaves the rishus of the mashiel. So the Ritva explains. So what's the nature of the chiyuv? The Ritva explains within Rashi that when the mashiel sends the para based on the shoel say so, the chiyuv is not midin shoel; it's midin arev, meaning he's saying, I'm taking responsibility. You send it out of your rishus, and I'm taking responsibility for it. That's an arev. So an arev, he's chayiv midin arev. He's not yet a shoel, the eino chinami. He's only going to be a shoel once it arrives, but he's already chayiv an onset because he's already considered an arev. So the Ritva writes that the chiddush over here is that even though he didn't say v'is chayiv anilach, which normally is what you have to say in order to be an arev, you have to say that, yeah, do this, and I bear responsibility. He didn't say those words. He just said, hit it with a stick and let it come. We view it as if, he said, v'ischayiv anilach, he already has a din of an arev. That's how the Ritva understands Shitas Rashi over here, that yes, he becomes chayiv ba'onsim while it's in transit, but not because he's already a shoel at that time, rather it's because he's an arev at that time. Tosos in Dibra Maskul Kivan explains that the chiyuv is midin shoel, that since hitting it with the stick is considered like a kinyan meshicha, that the mashil is doing on behalf of the shoel, and it goes right away from the rishus of the mashiel to the rishus of the shoel. So that's it. So he did a kinyan for the borrowing. Now Tosus writes, therefore, it has to be that the para goes to a simta or to tzidei rishus harabim, because a kinyan meshicha only works in a simta or tzidei rishus harabim. But then Tosus says, no, it could even be that it works but in a rishus harabim itself. Aye, how could the mashiel himself do a kinyan for the shoel? By Eruv, the Gemara says in Maseches Eruv in Dafayin Tes that a person is not able to be zocha in the barrel of the Eruv for other people if it's his own barrel, meaning if I have a box of matzahs and I want to use that box of matzahs for the Eruv in our community, I can't do the kinyan for everybody else. I have to find somebody else to be koneh that box of matzahs for me on behalf of the whole community. I can't do the kinyan. So how come over here the mashil is able to do the kinyan meshicha on behalf of the shoel? The mashil is the makne. How can he also be the koneh on behalf of the shoel? So that's the kasha the Achronim asked. Chazanish suggests that maybe that's only a din by hagbah. Box of matzahs, you're going to do a kinyan hagbah. That calls man, that I'm holding onto it, so then the makna has never let go of it, so it can't be makna to another person. But when it comes to a kinyan meshicha, where the bailim is being motzi the animal from his rishus, so then the bailim could be the shliach of the kona to be moshech for him, because it's actually leaving that person's rishus. So then the rishonim have a discussion. Tosfos has a discussion. Dibur maskel ba'omer. So okay, granted, It's a kinyan meshicha that the mashal is doing for the shoel. So the period of borrowing starts as soon as he does that kinyan meshicha for him, as soon as he says it bi'al avdo. But the fact that he's sending an eved along with it, does that make it she'ela b'baylim, where the guy's going to be pater b'onsim anyway, the shoel's going to be pater b'onsim anyway, because yad eved kiyad rabo, meaning the eved is just an extension of the master, so the eved going along is exactly like the master going along. So Tosus writes that even though the eved of the mashal is being molich l'parah to the shoel, it's not she'ela b'baylim, where the shoel is going to be potter from any sense of rechayus, because only when the bailim himself does the malacha for the shoel do we consider that bailavimo. And if the bailim himself is borrowed to is in service to bring the para and to send it, only then do we say bailavimo. But when you're mashal the para and you send your evet kanani, so that Tosa says that's like you're being mashal shtei paros, meaning you own two things: you own this para, you also own this evet, and you're sending both of them. So that's not called bailavimo. That's considered that you're sending two different items that you own. The Rambam seems to disagree in Hilchos Sheilut Pikadon Perek Beis that even legabe this din we say yalevet kiad rabo, and if mashil para and mashil ima esavdo akanani is called she'ela b'baylim. That if you send an evet kanani together with the para, that taka is called she'ela b'baylim. Anyway, so just to get back to what we were talking about over here, the Gemara had asked, how can you say that when the mashil sends the para with his own evet, that the shovel is already chayiv in onsim while it's in transit, whatever happened to Yalevit Kiad Rabo, isn't it like the mashal is still holding on to it? So two answers. Shmuel said, no, that's only talking about an Eved Ivri that the shovel already becomes chayiv. But if it's an Eved Kanani, the shovel is not chayiv. And Rab says, no, it could even be talking about an Eved Kanani. We treat it as if he said, go hit it with a stick and I'll take whatever achrayus, and the fact that the Eved there is irrelevant. So Meisvei, so the Gemara asks, we have a braisa, a shovel as a parav. Someone borrows a para from somebody else, and the shoel says to the mashil, send me the para with your son or with your shliach, v'shilchalo, and he sent it biyad b'no with the mashil's son, biyad shlucho with the mashil shliach, and then it dies in transit, chayiv. The shoel is already taking responsibility. But here's the kicker. The next line is, biyad avdo, potter, that if the mashil sends it in the hands of his own eved, then the shoel is going to be potter directly against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if he sends it biad bno, biad shlucho, biad avdo, then the shoel is going to be chayiv. And over here we have a braisa that distinguishes biad bno, biad shlucho. Yes, he's going to be chayiv. Biad avdo, he's going to be pater. So how do you reconcile that braisa with our Mishnah? Well, bishlam of Shmuel, according to Shmuel, it's very easy to reconcile it, because Shmuel is the one that said that our Mishnah is dafka talking about an eved ivri. But if it were an eved kanani, the din would be different. So great. So masnisin Be'evet Ivri, Braisa Be'evet Kanani. Our Mishnah, which says that if you send a Bi'al Avdo, you're going to be Chayiv, is talking about where it's an Evet Ivri. The Braisa, it says if you send a Bi'al Avdo, you're going to be Potter. That's talking about an Evet Kanani, where it's just an extension of the Bailum Yal Evet Kiyad Rabo Dabi. But El Rav Kasha, but according to Rav, that our Mishnah, Rav said that our Mishnah could even be talking about an Evet Kanani. So how are you going to reconcile this Braisa with our Mishnah? How can the Braisa say if you send a Bi'al Avdo, you're going to be Potter? What happened to Rav? Idea that whenever you send the Bi'al Avdo, it's as if the Shoel said, hit it with a stick and it will come on its own, and I'm taking Achrayus and it's Midin Arev, the way Rashi learned. So Amalach Rav, so Rav's going to say, Lo Tema Nase Ka Amarle, Ele Ema Bi Amarle, Hakisha B'makal V'itavo. That maybe the way to understand Rav's answer is not that when the Shoel tells the Mashil, send it with your Eved, we view it as if he said, hit it with a stick and I'll take Achrayus. We don't view anything as if anything. No. The Mishnah is talking about where he actually said, hit it with a stick and I'll take Achrayus. And only then is the shoel going to be chayiv while it's in transit. But if he didn't actually say those words, so then there's no nasakit. If he didn't actually say those words, so then the shoel is taka not going to be chayiv. So Tosos points out in Dibra Maskel Amar that Rav and Shmuel are arguing in a halacha over here as well, not only in how to explain the Mishnah. And Shmuel holds that even if you say hakisha b'makal v'yitavu l'rashusi, the shoel is not going to be chayiv b'achriyusa. Meaning it's Rav's Chiddush that Rav said. We originally thought the Chiddush of Rav was even greater, that as soon as you say send it Bi'al Avdo, it's as if you're taking full responsibility and therefore the Shoel is taking full responsibility. Now we toned down that Chiddush of Rav a little bit and we said no, Rav's not saying that as soon as you say send it with your Shliach, I'm taking full responsibility, it's as if he's said I'm taking full responsibility. But if he actually says it, then he is taking full. If he actually says Hakisha B'makol, then he actually is taking full responsibility, says Tosos, and Shmuel disagrees with that even. Shmuel says even if he actually says it, he's still not taking full responsibility. He still does not become an Arev on it. And that's why Shmuel said that the Mishnah must be talking about an Eved Ivri, because if it were an Eved Kanani, there's no way in which the Shoel would be Chayiv. Meaning if Shmuel really paskined like Rav LaHalacha, he would have no reason to interpret the Mishnah any differently than Rav did. By virtue of the fact that Shmuel interpreted the Mishnah to Dafka be talking about an Eved Ivri, shows you that Shmuel holds that there's no way you can have a case of an Eved Kanani where the Shoel is going to be Chayiv. The Rush disagrees. The Rush holds that Rav and Shmuel are not arguing LaHalacha, and Shmuel would also be Moda, that if the Shoel says to the Mashiel to hit it with a stick and to send it, that the Shoel already becomes Chayiv Bachriyusa, and nevertheless, he doesn't want to explain the Mishnah to be talking about such a case, because then why would the Mishnah say that he sent it Biyar Avdo and not mention that he was Hikisha B'makal? Meaning then the major part of the Mishnah is missing. Meaning according to the way Rav is learning the Mishnah, the Eved is really irrelevant. The point of the Eved just happens to be walking along. But the real reason that he's Chayiv Bachriyusa is because he said, hit it with a stick and let it go. So that's what bothered Shmuel about interpreting the Mishnah the way Rav interpreted the Mishnah. But says the Rush, La Halacha, they would both actually agree. So the Gemara says, and I'll bring you a raya that Rav holds, that the only time the Shoel is Chayiv Bachriyusa is if he actually said, hit it with a stick. To Itmar, because we have something that was stated in the Beis Medrash, that if the Shoel says to the Mashiel, Hashileni Parascha, I'd like to borrow your Kalva Amar Lo, and the Mashiel says, Biyad Mi, who do you want me to send it to you with? Va Amar Lo, and he says, Hakisha B'makel V'tavo, just hit it with a stick and let it come to me. So Amar Nachan Amar Vua, Amar Rav, Kivin Shiatzis Mirshus Mashiel, Mesa Chayiv, that once it's in transit, you're already going to be Chayiv. So you see very clearly that it's Dafka because he said, hit it with a stick, that at that point he's going to be Chayiv, and that's therefore a Raya that is in fact the Shita of Rav. And says Gemara, Name Misayele, I'll bring you a Brisa that supports Rav. Hashileni Paraska, a guy says to his friend, I'd like to borrow your Kalva. Amar Lei, and the Mashiel says, Biyad Mi, how would you like me to send it? FedEx, UPS, what do you want me to do? So Amar Lei, Hakisha B'makal V'hitavo, just hit it with a stick and it will come on its own. Kivin Shiatzis Mirshus Mashiel Mesa Chayiv. So the Brisa says exactly that as soon as it's in transit, as soon as it leaves the Rishus of the Mashiel, already the Shoel is going to be chayv in any onus that happens to that behema. So says Gemara, it's not necessarily a raya. Amar Rav Ashi, you can't bring a raya from that brisa that Rav is correct, because meaning in a chinami, the brisa says that when the Shoel says hit it with a stick and it will come, as soon as you do that, the Shoel is going to be chayv. But hacham ha'eskin gon shoyse chaser shel Shoel lefnim chaser shel Mashiel, that the chi mishal chalei vade las mazla. But that brisa might have been talking about a case where as soon as you hit it with a stick, there's nowhere else for it to go other than to the Shoel's property. It could be, we're talking about a case where the property of the Shoel is surrounded fully by the property of the Mashiel, so it's more inside. So if you hit it with a stick and send it toward the inside, there's only one place for it to go, and that is to the property of the Shoel. Good. In that case, the Shoel already takes responsibility as soon as you hit it with a stick. But if I live three blocks away from you, and I tell you, hit it with a stick, Mistava will come to me. Why is it going to come to me? It could stop anywhere else along the way. It could end up in anyone else's backyard. So maybe I'm not really taking achrayus already at that point. It's not midinarev when you hit it with a stick. So ask Gemara ihachi. But if that's the case, if the Braisa is talking about a case where mamish has nowhere else to go, ma'id lemeimer, then what exactly is the chiddush of the Braisa? Of course, you're being makabel achrayus when he hits it with a stick, if the only place it could go when he hits it with a stick is your property. So says Merlo Tzricha, there is a chiddush in the Braisa, because the Ika Gazyasa, we're talking about where there are some little corners in the property that belong to the Mashiel that the Behema could go hide in. So Mal Detema Lo Samchadaite, I might think that the Shoel doesn't have full Smichas Das, that the animal is going to come to his property, and therefore he's not yet ready to take responsibility for it, because Dil Makayma Hasam, because it might, the animal might stop in one of those corners, it might find a little hiding place. It's not going to come straight into my property. So that's why he's coming to teach me that the Shoel does have smichus das, even though there are these little hiding places. He doesn't assume it's actually going to hide in one of those little hiding places. That's how Rashi understands. The Ritva raises the question. He says, "Well, wait a second, manufshach. If the animal actually goes into the chatzar of the Shoel and doesn't go into any of those little hiding places in the Mashal's Rishus, why wouldn't the Shoel be chayiv b'achriyusa? Meaning, it's vital." right, or pshita. It's obvious that he becomes chayiv b'achriyusa. And if the behemoth goes into one of those little hiding places and does not go into the chatzur of the shoal, so it's pashut that the shoal is not chayiv b'achriyusa because it never left the rishus of the mashil. Meaning the chayiv achrayus would have to be as soon as it leaves the rishus of the mashil. So if it never left the rishus of the mashil because the mashil's property has all these hiding places, so of course there's no chayiv achrayus yet. The chayiv achrayus, of course, is only going to start once it leaves the rishus of the mashil. So says the Ritva, I don't understand the case. The way Rashi's understanding it, all these hiding places are in the rishus of the mashil. So there's only two places this animal could be: the rishus of the mashil, the rishus of the shoal. There's no man's land, right? It's one or the other. So if it's still in the rishus of the mashil, obviously the shoal is not chayiv yet in any achrayus. If it's already in the rishus of the shoal, obviously the shoal is chayiv already in the achrayus. The whole vart of our mishnah was that there was a place of transit. There was a place somewhere in between. That's what we're trying to talk about over here. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara's answer, there is no in between. So that's why the Ritva says Gazyasa means little corners that belong neither to the Mashil or the Shoel. It belongs to somebody else. So that's what we're saying, that maybe there's no smichas das of the shoel, even though his property is inside the property of the mashiel, because it's not 100% that the animal is going to go into the shoel's property. The animal might go into one of these little corners and hide, and therefore maybe there's no smichas das in such a case. Okay, so now the Gemara has a new discussion. At what point is the shoel considered to have made a kinyan on the item? Let's say you borrow an axe from somebody. Bikabo kno'o, lo bikabo lo kno'o. Great chiddush. That only when you start chopping wood with it, then you're kona it as a borrower. Prior to chopping wood with it, you're not kona it as a borrower, which is a big chiddush. I would have thought that if I borrow your axe and you give me your axe, so now I'm kona it as a borrower, meaning I'm only chopping wood next week, but I just want to have it just in case, or I'm getting all my tools in order. I haven't been kona it as a borrower yet. When I took it in my hand, just because I didn't start using it yet, so it says more on the mind. Look at me, what halacha was I not kona it yet? If it's as far as the chiva ones, maishna part of the misha she'ela. Why is it though? Our mishnah says that as soon as the she'ela starts, whether I use it or not, even if it's in transit, as soon as the she'ela starts, I become chayv anonsim when it comes to a para, and yet with an axe, I have to actually use it in order to be chayv anonsim. That doesn't seem to make much sense. Why would that be the case? So ella l'chazara. So no, we're not talking about the chayv anonsim. Where the chayv anonsim, of course, is going to start as soon as you make the kinyan, regardless of whether you used it or not. The discussion is going to be as far as backing out on the deal, that if the mashal gives me the item to borrow for a particular amount of time, and then he wants to back out and he wants to take it back within that amount of time, so then that it depends if I started using it or not. If I started using it, it's too late. The mashal cannot back out. But if I didn't start using it, the mashal can back out even within the agreed upon term of the loan. And what if there's no agreed upon term? So that's a machlokas in the Rishonim and Achronim. If there's no agreed upon term, what sort of assumptions do we work with? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his comments to Maseches Kiddushin, writes that within his understanding of Rashi, that if you borrow something stam without a particular agreed upon term of the loan, then the mashil could be toveya whenever he wants. He can always ask for it back. However, Tosos in Maseches Chulin on Daf Kuf Yud says that no, he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam and he says, whenever you lend something, the assumption, if you're not specific, the assumption is 30 days. Now, we do have a concept, stam halva'a shloshim yom, but a she'ela and halva'a are not necessarily the same. Halva'a is when you lend money, so we assume that you need to have X amount of time with the money, otherwise there's no point of lending money. I'm going to give you, the whole point of lending money is that you're supposed to be able to use that money. Milva lahotza, now if I lend you money, you're supposed to be able to spend it and then to have some time to gather enough money back to return it, but if I lend you my axe, just give me the axe back. You're not supposed to spend it. You're not supposed to give it to somebody else. It's not supposed to go anywhere. So I should always be able to demand it back. So that's the chiddush of Tosos. No, even by when you borrow an item, the assumption is that it's a 30-day loan. So anyway, so Gemara brings upliga de Rabbi Ami. So again, Rav Huna had this chiddush that when you borrow an axe, so only when you start using it are you fully kona it legabe returning it, legabe the mashil backing out on it. So says Gemara upliga de Rabbi Ami. Rav Huna is against Rav Ami. Rabbi Ami. To Amar Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami taught us, Hamashal Kardom Shel Hegdish, if a person lends a Kardom that belongs to Hegdish to somebody else, Ma'al, the Mashil violates Mi'ila, even though he never used this axe, Lefi Tovas Hada Shabo. And how much Mi'ila, meaning how much does he have to pay back Hegdish? However much money the Hakaras Hatov of the Shoel is worth to him. Meaning not the amount of hana'a that the shoel gets from the use of the axe, but the amount of hana'a that the mashil gets from lending the axe to the shoel, where the shoel is very happy with him and is appreciative to him. And even though it still belongs to Hegdish, the guy who borrowed it is allowed to use it because it was already violated. The mila was already violated, and therefore it's yotzei l'chulin. So even though it was an axe that had belonged to Hegdish, the guy's at once mila was already violated, so then the guy might as well use it. The shoel might as well use it. So says Mara, but if he hasn't yet been koneh until he uses it, I'm ma'al. Why is there mi'ila already? Meaning mi'ila should only be at the point of kinyan. But if you hold like Rav Huna said that the point of kinyan is only when you start chopping wood with it, so how come as soon as I lend it out to you, I lend you the hektish axe, how come I immediately violated mi'ila? There's no kinyan yet, and also I'm and why is the shoel allowed to start using it and chopping wood with it? Nihadre v'lo liknei v'lo limal. Let him give it back, and then we will have a kinyan will never have been done, and mila will never have been violated. So you see clearly that Rabbi Ami is assuming that the kinyan is done already, even before he starts to chop wood with it against Rav Huna. So it's Rabbi Ami against Rav Huna. At what point is the kinyan done on when you lend metaltalin to somebody else? That Rav Huna holds only when he starts chopping wood with it, only when he starts using it. And Rabbi Ami says, no, as soon as you make a kinyan, just like a para, as soon as it leaves the rishus and goes into the other guy's rishus, the kinyan is already done. So it says, Mar pliga to Rabbi Lazar, and Rav Huna disagrees with Rabbi Lazar. Tam Rabbi Lazar, kederek shetiknu meshicha belukuchos, kach tiknu meshicha b'shomrim. That Rav Huna not only disagrees with Rabbi Ami, he's also against Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Lazar also says that just like chacham mor mesake meshicha, when it comes to purchasing an item, so too when you want to be a shawel on an item or a socher on an item, any type of shomer on an item, that you when as soon as you do a meshicha, you have been mekabelit into your rishus. Whereas the Rav Huna would say, no, the kinyan has not begun until you actually start using it. So you see clearly in the Gemara that the sheet of Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Lazar is that the shawel is kona at the time of the meshicha. So Tosa Rush points out that nevertheless there's still a machlokas between Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Lazar, even though they both hold that at the time of the Mashiach, the Kona. I mean, the Gemara is pointing out that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Lazar are against Rav Huna, but is there any dispute between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Lazar themselves? So Tosaf Rosh says yes, that according to Rabbi Ami, the Shoel is Kona min HaTorah with Mashiach, and therefore the Mashil is in violation of Me'ila when he gives you an axe that belongs to Hagdish, because the Kinyan was min HaTorah. If the Kinyan were only min Rabbanan, there wouldn't be Me'ila. Me'ila is a din d'oraisa. Whereas according to Rabbi Lazar, the Chachamim are mesakein that the Mashiach works as a kinyan. It's not min haTorah, and therefore it would not be subject to Me'ila yet. That's how Tosa Rosh learns. The Ritva disagrees, and the Ritva says, well, even if the kinyan is midrabanan, it would still be Me'ila, meaning a kinyan midrabanan would help to effectuate Me'ila. It would make it that it becomes Me'ila. Why? Because Hefker based in Hefker. If the Rabbanan say that this no longer belongs to party A, and now it belongs to party B, then it actually, on a Daraisa level, belongs to party B, because they utilize the mechanism of Hefker Beis and Hefker. So Gemara brings a brisa that supports Rabbi Lazar. Tani Nami Hachi, Keshem Shetiknu Mashiach B'Lekuchos Tiknu Mashiach B'Shomrim. Just like the Chamor Masaki Nekinin Mashiach when purchasing something, they're also Masaki Nekinin Mashiach when becoming a Shomer on something. And the brisa adds on another Keshem, Ukeshem Shekarka Niknas B'Kesef Shtar B'Chazaka Kach Schirus Nikna B'Kesef Shtar B'Chazaka. Just like a Karka could be acquired Kesef Shtar Chazaka, so too Schirus could be acquired with Kesef Shtar Chazaka. Schirus may avidite. What do you mean? I rent something, a para, an axe, or whatever. I do Kesef Shtar Chazaka. That's a valid form of kinyan on metaltalin. So Amar Rav Chista, no. Schirus Karka. We're just trying to say Schirus Karka. That just like when you buy Karka, the ways to make a kinyan kinyan or kesef shtar and chazaka, so too when you become a shomer on karka, the way to make a kinyan on that karka is with kesef shtar and chazaka. But obviously, metaltalin has its own forms of kinyan that have nothing to do with this. What exactly is chazaka? So chazaka is nol gadru parat, meaning kesef shtar and chazaka are three general forms of kinyan. Chazaka itself has three subcategories, right? It's either nol gadru parat. Gadar means you build a fence around it. Parat means that there is a fence and you breach the fence. What exactly does na'al mean? That's a machlok zrishonim. The Rashbam and Babasa writes, it means that you build a door, you make a door. Not enough to just close the door because the house already had a door. Closing a door is not a valid, it's not a meaningful form of kinyan. However, Tosos and Babasa says, no, it means you lock the door, even if that's good enough to make a kinyan. That if the door was open and now you locked it, that also, that's considered na'al, locking an existing door. Okay, so now the Gemara tells us a new halach. Amr Shmuel, Hayman de Gazel Chavitza de Tamri Mechaveru. If someone stole a bundle of dates from somebody else, v'yisbei chamishim tamri, and that bundle of dates, it's all pressed together, has 50 dates in it. So agav adadim is davim chamishim nechichada. If you sell it in bulk, right, you sell all 50 dates at one time, so you're going to be able to sell it for $49. But chada chadam is davim chamishim, right? But if you don't sell it in bulk, you don't sell the big Costco box. You take each granola bar out of the box and you sell it in your local store for. So then you could charge $1 for each one. Then it's going to be $50. For the 50 dates. So how much do you have to pay back when you stole that bundle of dates? Do we say, well, it could be sold for $1 each and therefore it's $50? Or no, as a bundle, it would be sold for $49 and therefore I owe the guy $49. So an interesting chilek. Lehediot mishan chamishim nechichada. Lehegdish mishan chamishim vichum shayu. It depends who I stole it from. If I stole it from a regular individual, so then I only have to pay back $49. But if I stole it from Hegdish, then I have to pay back the full $50. And when you steal from Hegdish, you also have to add an extra chomesh that one always has to add when you steal from Hegdish. That's a pasuk in the Torah or limud from Sukkim in the Torah that you add a chomesh when you steal from Hegdish. Masha'in came to Masik. That chilik between stealing from Hedyot versus stealing from Hegdish is only when it comes to stealing. But if you are Mazik Hegdish, delo mishalim chumsha, then you don't have to pay the extra chomesh. Meaning not that chilik. The chilik is going to exist whether you're gozel or a mazik, the chilik between 49 versus 50. But we said by Hegdish, it's not enough that you have to pay 50, you have to add a chomesh on top of the 50. That's only if you stole. If you're mazik Hegdish, you don't have to add a chomesh on top of the 50 that you already stole. The Tosus points out that if you're mazik Hegdish, you're even potter from Keren, because the Mishnah Babakama seems like that it's only chiv mid Rabbanan. So Shmuel's chiddush is that when the Rabbanan instituted that you have to pay back for being mazik hegdish, right? Shorei eu velo shor shel hegdish. If you're mazik something that belongs to somebody else, you have to pay. But mazik hegdish on a daraisa level, you don't have to pay. But when the chum were misakin that you have to pay, they were not misakin to also add the chomesh. Damar mar, because we have a din that when it comes to paying back the chomesh for truma, it says the ish ki yochal kodesh, and it says the yid kodesh pishkaga. Then the yosef chamishi so alav, you add a chomesh. So we darshin that it's only prat the mazik. It's only for ochel kodesh, which means you stole it, not just if you're mazik kodesh. If you're mazik kodesh, then you're part of the mechamesh. Now, as I mentioned, that pasuk is not about hegdish. That pasuk is about truma. It's just that the Gemara compares truma to hegdish through a gzeirah shava of chet, that it says such a lashon by both of them. So therefore, we can link truma to hegdish. So there's no beferish of pasuk by hegdish. They add a chomesh when you steal from hegdish, but we derive one from the other. So maskar bibi barabai lehediot amay mishalim chamishim lechichada namely anachad chadav mezabnin luhu. Why, when you're paying back a hedyot, you only have to pay back 49? Can't the guy say, I was planning on selling it individually? That, you know, we have a mishnah, Maseches Baba Kama, that says that if an animal eats grain from one row of a field and damages that field, we don't value evaluate the value of that row of grain prior to the damage and after the damage. We zoom out, we look at the entire field, and we say, how much was that field worth before? How much is that field worth now? So we have certain kulas in the way we're able to make these assessments for paying for these things. So over here also, we have such a kula that we're able to make an assessment in that way when it comes to paying something, that you're able to assess it in bulk and you don't have to assess it as the individual payment. So it says, well, the name of the Sarva Shmuel, din hedyot lav kedin kavodami. Do you mean to tell me that Shmuel holds that paying back hedyot does not have the same din as paying back hegdish? Which is exactly what Shmuel said, right? That paying back a hedyot, you pay the bulk price, whereas paying back Hegdish, you pay the individual price. But Vatnan, but we have a Mishnah Maseches Me'ilah about a Gizbar of Hegdish that's supposed to be protecting the items of Hegdish, and if not al evno korim Hegdish, he takes a stone or a beam from Hegdish, lo ma'al, he has not yet violated Me'ilah, because he's supposed to be dealing with the beams and stones of Hegdish. He hasn't taken it out of Rishul's Hegdish yet. But Nisan al Chaveru, as soon as that Gizbar gives it to somebody else, who ma'al, the Gizbar has now violated Me'ilah, because now there was a kinyan done to somebody else. So the Gizbar has a right to move it around, but he does not have a right to take it out of the Rishus HaKdish. The Chaveru lo ma'al, the guy who received it, is not in violation of Me'ilah when he uses it, because he was already kona it through the Gizbar giving it to him. But not b'toch beso, but another thing, if the Gizbar builds it into his own house, lo ma'al, the kora is still there, so he has not yet violated Me'ilah, until he gets Hanah B'Shavar Pruta out of it, meaning he builds it into his house and then he lives in that house. Okay, so now he got a Shavar Pruta worth of Hanah from it. Now he's in violation of Me'ilah. So the Gemara extends its question. The Gemara says that Rabbi Avo was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan and was saying over in the name of Shmuel, Zos Ameres, from this Mishnah about being Nena from an item that belongs to Hegdish and violating Me'ilah, even though you're being Nena without a Yediya of Hegdish and without making any Shinoi in the Chafetz of Hegdish, so Hegdish didn't really lose anything yet, so it must be the same as true by a Hedyot, that Adar B'chatzach Haver Shlomi Daito, if a person lives in someone else's, squats in someone else's property without the Bailim knowing about it, Tzarech La'alasol Sachar, then you have to pay for the Hanah you got, even though you living there didn't cost him anything. He wasn't otherwise going to rent it out. Just by living there, the guy didn't lose anything. So the Chora, it's a stira in Shmuel, because when it comes to this din, we compare Hedyot to Hegdish. That just like when you're Nana Mehegdish, you're Chayiv, so too when you're Nana Mehedyot, without the idea of the Hedyot, you're going to be Chayiv. Whereas when it comes to stealing the bundle of dates, the 50 dates, Shmuel says that there's a difference in terms of how you pay it back. So some have the Girsa, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, some don't have the Girsa. But either way, Hadar Be Shmuel Mehehi, you're right, it's a stira in Shmuel. Shmuel must have backed out on that which he compared being Nana from Hedyot to being Nana from Hegdish. Says Mar, Maidimehi Adabedam Meha Hadar. Granted, Shmuel must have changed his mind somewhere along the way. How do you know which one he changed his mind from? Maybe he thinks that the Nana from Hegdish and Nana from Hedyot is a good comparison, and what he changed his mind from is the distinction in how to pay back for 50 dates. So says Mar, Lo Meahi Hadabay. No, it must be that he changed his mind about the Hegdish Hedyot comparison when it comes to Me'ilah, and when it comes to getting Hana'ah, Kid Rava, because it's aligned with Rava, the Amar Rava, because Rava says that you cannot compare getting Hana from Hedyot to getting Hana from Hegdish, because Hegdish Shalomidas ke Hedyot Midas Dami. Whenever you have Hegdish Shalomidas, that's considered the same as Hedyot Midas, because all Hegdish belongs to Hashem. So he knows who's getting Hana from his Hegdish. So the it says in the Torah that someone who's Nenem Hegdish is in violation of Me'ilah and has to pay. So that's exactly the same as getting Hana from a Hedyot Midas HaBailim, where the Bailim is aware of it, because the Bailim of Hegdish is always aware of it, and therefore you're going to have to pay. So you cannot learn from there to being squatting in someone else's property, Shalomi Daito, where you don't have the person's das. So because of how compelling that svara is, it must be that Shmuel backed out on that comparison between Hedyot and Hegdish. There were these people who were porters, they were schleppers, and they broke barrels that belonged to a certain chenveni when they were schlepping the barrels, and they are therefore chayiv to pay for it. On the Yom of the Shukah, those barrels are worth five zuz. On during the rest of the year, those barrels are only worth four zuz. So how much do I have to pay back? So how do you Yom of the Shukah, if you pay back the nezek when it's still coming up on the Yom Shuk, right the day before the Yom Hashuk, so mahadrili chavisa dechamra, you're able to actually just give him a barrel back in your potter, because you stole it you damaged it on Yom of the Shukah. You're giving it back to him in time for the Yom HaDeshuka, he'll make all his money back. You're giving him equal value back. But Bishar Yomi, but if you're going to return it on a day that's nowhere near the Yom HaDeshuka, Majlei Chamish, then you have to pay the full value of what it was worth on the Yom HaDeshuka and not what it's worth today. So Rava just adds, V'lo Amaran, and this din, that if you pay on other days that you need to pay a Chamish Luz, that's only Elo Delo Havali Chamiluz Bune. That's only if on the Yom HaShuk that Chenveni ran out of wine. wine. So he lost the opportunity to make those 5 zuz that he could have made by selling that wine. But if he's got plenty in stock, he's got plenty of wine, so this wine wasn't necessarily going to be sold anyway. He should have sold all the wine that he has in stock, so he didn't really lose money by not having this barrel, and therefore you could just give him a barrel of wine back. You're not going to have to give him 5 zuz back. But when you even if you're paying him back the 5 zuz, you don't have to pay him back the full 5 zuz, because whatever tircha would have cost, whatever the tircha of having to sell it would have cost him, he didn't have to go through that now. So you could deduct that. And also udme barzan yasa, they also have to pay a guy normally to make a spigot, a spout in the barrel itself, and now the guy doesn't have to pay anyone to make a spout because the barrel was broken and fell all over the place. So the money he saved on hiring his spout maker, that you also could deduct from the chamesh zuz that you pay him back. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the top of Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. Everyone have a great day. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Take care. Have a good day.